Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening today. God is sovereign, and he governs the world by his providence. So invite him into every moment of your day, into every thought in your brain, and into every brain cell in your head. I think you're going to be covered then. He's for you, and he's got a yes for you. For as many times as you think you've heard a no, he has a yes for you. He loves his children, and I love 1 John 1:12 that says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So as the children of God gather around the radio today, we're going to have a great show. We'll take a little short break and be back with lots more. My friend Patrick Albanese is already waiting on the Skype line. We'll be back with him in just a minute.
Uncle Phil, I can tell that you've been eating pumpkin pie all year.
That's bold, but not very graceful.
There's so much more of you to cuddle with this year.
Okay. As you listen to Faith Radio, we hope you're inspired with God's truth and equipped to share it with those around you in a way that's bold and loving, drawing those you meet to the goodness of the Savior.
Let me share with you about the wonderful world of celery.
Just let this one go. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio.
This is Jim Garlow. We're not beholden to a political party, but that shouldn't keep us from speaking out with our vote. People say, "I don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils." Well, until Jesus runs for office, all you have to vote for are sin-impacted, less-than-perfect human beings. The fact is, in every political race, you're in effect choosing from the lesser of two evils. Don't use that as an excuse to not be involved. I'll be voting, and I encourage you to do the same.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Do? Why, if I had a brain,
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with...
I always love talking to my friend and colleague, Patrick Albanese from prestigious West Des Moines. As you know, Patrick has been in the entertainment business for 30-plus years. He was a former member of Channel 8 TV in Des Moines, WHO Radio, and he's also a member of Triple Espresso. And that show is opening up not only here in the Twin Cities, but also in Des Moines. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. And I don't know if this is padding the resume, but when I was about 7 years old, I did get chosen to play the game on Bozo's Circus. That was live television. So would that be padding the resume to say that my showbiz career spans 50 years? Would that be?
It would be a little bit of a stretch, but I'm going to give you an exception to the rule. I'm going to go with that. So
yeah,
50 years in television, I think that's appropriate.
50 years since my very first television appearance.
Yeah.
I won a Spirograph game. These people were wondering how I fared in the Bozo Circus competition.
Well. I don't know if you heard any of my earlier interview at 3 o'clock. I had a chance to talk to Dale Swan, who gave me a great donut story. So in keeping with the donut theme this afternoon, I want to talk about a story that happened in Seal Beach, because you and I both love when community comes together and makes a difference in the life of somebody.
Yeah, and we also love donuts. I mean, let's face it, bagels are, once you've had a donut, you say, well, a bagel is just a stripped down donut. There's nothing there.
It's just
filling, no frosting.
Right. It's an unpainted car. You know, there's nothing there.
Right. You're talking about the base model right there. This is just some sort of bread product.
It's just raw sheet metal. There's nothing on it.
Nothing on it.
Yeah.
This needs to be shaped and it needs to be painted.
And I'm just curious, before we get to the story, what is your donut of choice?
You know, I am very simple. I do like I tend to like the baked ones over the fried ones, mm-hmm. although in a pinch, the fried donut will suffice.
Okay.
I'm not going to be a stickler for details. Often I see people in the supermarket checkout line every morning when I go to the grocery store at 6 a.m. to pick up what we need that day. I don't know how we run out of stuff so quickly, but they're kids, and I have a dog that raids the fridge too. But I see people doing the, you know, they're buying the donuts for work, and usually – I tend to be a bit of a commentator saying, you know, I'd dump some of those fried ones. I'd get more baked, more baked. So I like the baked ones.
Now, I like the white powdered sugar. And I remember in high school, you know, I would dip that into coffee with cream and sugar. And then I couldn't figure out why I'd want to do 600 push-ups before a history class.
Right. And, of course, you were also able to say to people, I don't add anything to my coffee. But very sweet. I like the white frosting. Now, powdered sugar, I used to like those, but I tend to wear black a lot, and they're just not a complimentary two items, powdered sugar donut and black clothing.
I agree. So anyway, the Donut City owner in Seal Beach, his wife had a stroke, and he's been trying to be with her as much as possible. And so what the community has done is they've gone and bought out all of his inventory every morning as fast as possible so he can close up shop for the day and go be with his wife.
So that's probably early in the morning because donut shops tend to open early. What an amazing thing. And everybody's a winner here because there's a bunch of people walking out with some fresh donuts. And this guy's closing up shop at what, 8 o'clock?
Probably. But, you know, usually I try to go through a day without getting tears in my eyes over some sweet story. But this is one of those that kind of choked me up a little bit because how sweet. I mean, he's from Cambodia and he's had this donut shop for 30 years in Seal Beach. And he and his wife show up every day and they make donuts and sell them. And then the wife had a stroke and she's, you know, not in a great place and she's weak and in rehab. And he's able to rush to be by her side because his inventory is gone by early in the morning because people go in there and they'll buy a dozen donuts at a time and take them to work or hand them out. And I just think it's a sweet story. It's good that we're pointing stories like this up.
Yeah, and he shows up now at 4 a.m. to make about 2 million donuts. I mean, if they're buying them, he's like, I don't know why business is so good. I love stories like that. You know, whoever gets tired of that. And it is a reminder that, you know, you're always getting these stories. The sky is falling. People are terrible, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you're almost like Lex Luthor, you know, talking to Otis, saying people are no good.
Yes, sir, Mr. Luthor.
Yes, sir, Mr. Luther. Are we going to Addis Ababa?
The donut shop owner offered – the customers offered to set up a GoFundMe account for him, but he said no. He didn't want to do that.
He wanted to work for it.
He wanted to work.
I love that story. And I do think it's a reminder that this stuff actually happens – all the time. I mean, often you can just kind of dig around a little bit in your own church community and you find out some of the things that your own church does and you say, wow, we do that? You know, I remember having gone to my church for a number of years before I found out that, oh, yeah, we have this thing where we have it's like a garage sale or you could call it a swap meet. I go, well, why is a church having a swap meet? They go, well, everything's free. Like, how does that work? Well, people who need stuff, they just come and they get it. Like, well, I don't get it. Why do you do something like that? Isn't that kind of expensive? You know? No, that's just one of the things that people need stuff. They come here, no questions asked. You don't even have to be a member of the church. Nothing. Show up. We got dinner waiting for you too. Come have some dinner. And then what do you need? You need a toaster? We got a very nice two-slice toaster over here. It's got clear plexiglass sides in case you want to see just how brown your bread is getting.
Mm-hmm.
I took that one. I really didn't need a toaster. It was a really nice toaster.
But there are go ahead, yeah, Patrick.
I love those stories.
Yeah, I do too.
Whoever gets tired of them, you go, you know what? I do need to have these not just reminders that humanity is basically pretty decent, but I would like to search out more of them because the other negative stuff is being thrown at me all the time. And you forget how you start to, you know, absorb some of that and you go, why am I in a cranky mood today? I'm Mr. Crankers yet again.
Well, and then because he declined the GoFundMe account, that doesn't mean that there aren't other people taking unfair advantage of GoFundMe. You alerted me to a story that was kind of sad.
Yeah. Oh, and she had a screen name, and I forgot it. It probably doesn't matter at this point in time. She's been exposed. But there was a woman who put up a Twitter post, as you know, my parents have, you know, essentially disowned me because I'm a Trump supporter and I can't make ends meet. I can't pay the bills. And she sets up a GoFundMe and within days, there's $150,000 in it. And you know, you go, people just were like, oh my gosh, that's just terrible. Your own parents. Well, it turns out that it was a scam that she hated Trump. She's African-American, and she thinks that Trump is a racist and that all Republicans are racist. And yet the funny thing is the $150,000 was raised by a bunch of lily white Republicans that just sent her some money, and they didn't care about her race at all. I thought, well, didn't the thing that just happened to you kind of prove the opposite? You took advantage of these people, and they handed you their money. But, you know, sometimes – and you and I have talked about this. You know, you can't always – get too worked up as to, you know, is my money going to exactly where people say it's going to go? Mm-hmm. Now, in this case, you don't want to get scammed. Nobody likes to be scammed because it reduces your faith a little bit in mankind. And you're going, oh, darn it. And now I'm going to be reluctant to give to somebody who might really need it. We got to learn to set that aside, though, at times and say, OK, that happened. But don't help somebody like the, you know, the donut shop owner. And again, donuts. We're talking about donuts.
The happiest food on earth.
Bagel's bigger brother.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm talking to Patrick Albanese. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back with more in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I have on my studio line Patrick Albanese, my friend and colleague from prestigious West Des Moines. And Patrick, I always say that Halloween starts that great chunk of great fall holidays, because we've got, you know, Thanksgiving next and Christmas and New Year's, and this is a great chunk of holidays coming up. But always seems like it starts off with Halloween. I didn't get a chance to talk to you last week. Did all go well in your end of the world?
No one got hurt.
Oh, good.
The kids are very aggressive trick-or-treaters now, and extremely methodical. My son is he's the kid that runs from door to door. And every now and then he comes back to me and says, "Take this," and you've got to unload the load. It was it's been quite the sugar fest here. A lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we used to, when I lived in California, you know, we used to like to go, and I was probably too old for it. We'd like to go trick or treating in some of the, like, Toluca Lake. You know, that's where Bob Hope lived. You know, very, very wealthy area.
Extremely wealthy area.
Yeah, you know, once you got past that security gate. When you go to the door, trick or treat, and they handed out the best stuff, like, you know, $100,000 bar, actually had $100,000 in it. It was cool. Rolex watches, you know,
nice.
Some of the places. I'm going to Bob Hope's and got an Apple, but it was a very basic computer, very basic. It wasn't like a PowerBook.
Yeah, it wasn't fancy. I had a kid come up to my door, and he had a piece of cardboard on either side of his body, like sandwich boards. And I go, he said, trick or treat. And I said, hey, what's your costume? He goes, it's the border wall. Oh, the border wall? Who's going to pay for that? He goes, Mexico. Didn't skip a beat.
See, yeah, and here you have – the kids have to tell jokes. And you can always tell, you know, the children of some of my comedian friends, because they do 10 minutes. It's all right.
They've got a laugh track that they bring with them.
They do. You know, they got to have a studio audience. But actually, it was great because I picked up some excellent new jokes.
That's outstanding. Yeah. All right. Now, let's get to the obvious, which is what's happening tomorrow with the midterm elections.
Evidently, we're going to find out if everybody's wrong again.
I guess. I just saw a New York Times poll from the 2016 election that said Hillary Clinton, 93%, Donald Trump, 7%. And that was the New York Times. The week before the election.
Yeah, the Washington Post had Hillary at 98.1.
Okay.
Just that little oomph extra. It's like, in case you were thinking, it's too close to call. But, you know, and sometimes I think a lot of these polls are created just to sort of create a tension that doesn't exist, that maybe these races are farther apart than we know. I mean, you know, the media today, if they were calling that 1984 election between Ronald Reagan and Walter Mondale, you know, and you know, Reagan won 49 states, but the media today would be, they'd be up till midnight saying, hang on, we're not going to call this yet till the Minnesota results come in. We need Minnesota. Hey, he's already won 49 states. It's not going to matter. But they're going to hang on going, don't turn off the TV set just yet. This is a nail biter because that's his own state. Mm-hmm. We just want to see, you know, no offense to your home state, but they're the only state that voted for Mondale, and you had Jesse Ventura and Al Franken. I don't know.
No, I'm quiet on that subject. I'm just going to just keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, so there's people running tomorrow, and I can't even say my gut feeling. I have no gut feeling about this. It's so confusing because, you know, it's funny how a couple of weeks ago they said, oh, there's a blue wave, and now they say, well, maybe a trickle or maybe not. And even like Nate Silver, the main guy. Mm-hmm. Who's supposed to be the one everybody trusts, right? He came out yesterday and said, hey, the House could swing Democrat or it could not. Wow.
Yeah.
Pay you money for that analysis? I could have told you that. It might happen. It might not happen. So, I think that it looks like the Senate is going to stay in Republican hands. And then, you know, we're going to survive whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we think about it, God's driving and the rest of us are passengers. A couple of people get to sit up closer toward the front and say, oh, I see where we're going. But the rest of us, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at the Louis Farrakhan back in the news where he's chanting death to America in Tehran. And was referring to America as great Satan. Doesn't he live in the United States?
He does. I think he's a Chicago guy. Well, yeah. You know, it's funny because he still has all these supporters here. Nobody will denounce him. But, you know, if a Republican, you know, sneezes funny, people say, are you going to denounce that? He sneezed. The guy sneezed. And they're, you know, but we can't expect things to change. This is how it's been. This is how it will probably always be. And that's okay. You know, because – I mean, think about this. We have social media now. We have all this amazing different platforms to stay informed. But back in Ronald Reagan's day, we didn't have any of that stuff. There was no alternative media. There wasn't really cable TV or cable news. Talk radio didn't really exist in 1980. But the smear campaigns all did, and the networks all ran the same way. And he still won.
Mm-hmm.
He won twice. And you think, well, how is that even possible if we had no defense against it? Well, it's like, because people can make up their own minds. People can look at things and say, I think this person is right for from the vision I see for America. You know, they're trying to say that tomorrow, oh, you know, don't vote for Republicans, even if you're a Republican, because you should hate Trump. You're going, well, that's not how I choose my congressional candidates. It's got nothing to do with Trump. It's got everything to do with what are you going to do for my congressional district, and I'm not going to spite Trump. And then, you know, is it? I never even understood, why is that cutting off your nose to spite your face? I'm not entirely certain.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I think people it'll be pocketbook issues, the usual stuff, and then they'll show up and they'll say, well, I'm not just going to vote for somebody because I don't like somebody else. I'm just going to vote how I think is best to vote.
Mm-hmm. So, Patrick, after church yesterday, I thought, well, I'm going to watch a little bit of football, which I did, and I enjoyed it. And I thought when they cut to commercials, there were a lot of trailers out for movies. And if there isn't guns and violence and gun shooting in every trailer that I saw, and I thought Hollywood was against guns.
For you. You know, I mean, it's as Bobcat Goldthwait once said, and I think it was the beginning of the end of his popularity. He said, it's really easy to be politically correct when you live in a gated community. And then suddenly he wasn't, you know, working with anybody anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But because he kind of called it like it was. And, you know, I think a lot of these people, they go, the rules I'm talking about are for you, not for me. You know, we all know these people have armed guards. We all know that they live in secure places. I mean, Alec Baldwin, you know, he doesn't want to see a border wall, yet somebody takes his parking spot and he actually punches the guy.
Right.
Go and see what's yours is yours. That's just a parking spot, Alec.
I know. And I know you're not making a joke about that, because what happened over the weekend. He got in a confrontation with somebody on the street and ended up punching him and getting arrested and going to jail for a while.
Yeah. And, you know, I think not necessarily an Alec Baldwin fan, but there's a party that goes, yeah, I guess it's probably true that I've had that thought. Like, hey, that was my parking spot. That was it wasn't your parking spot. This is a public parking lot. He got there first.
Yeah, but you don't put it on your to-do list. I'm going to get out and punch the guy. You might have the thought, but it's not on your to-do list.
No, because there's just no time to write that down. The anger is gone. That would dissipate the anger that would be needed to actually punch a guy. Alec Baldwin tends to just act.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oddly enough, yeah. No, I mean, all kidding aside, yeah. No, it's a passing thought of you're just going, oh, you jerk.
I know.
And that's it. Then you're behind the guy in the grocery store line 5 minutes later, and you're chit-chatting about his donut selection, saying, really, I'd go more with the baked donuts instead of those fried donuts. Just a little tip for you.
A little tip.
Yeah.
So, being a former California resident, did you hear anything from friends or colleagues in California? California has been hit by 39 earthquakes in 24 hours, and the movement has been along the San Andreas Fault.
Yeah, that's usually where it happens. I haven't heard anything from anybody, and I haven't even seen a lot of Facebook postings where people like to say, hey, I'm safe.
It's mm-hmm.
like, yeah, if you're in Florida right now, of course you're safe. But I've gone through so many of those, a couple of big ones, and it is a little bit. Have you ever been through one?
I've been through two of them. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's quite disturbing.
Yeah, where on the Richter scale did yours fall?
I would think one was 6-something, and one was nearly close to 7.
I think I did a 7.2. That was grading on a curve, as I understand it.
Okay. the 7 one had stuff come crashing off the walls. I mean, it was the whole room shook, and stuff came off the walls.
Yeah, and it feels like the building is just set up on a bed of jello.
Right. Oh, exactly.
Yeah. But with lime pieces in it and pieces of peach and pineapple, of course. Mm-hmm. Some stability in it. Yeah, it's very unnerving. And I remember the first earthquake I went through. From then on in, I had a fear of elevators.
Oh, sure.
Every time I got into an elevator in California, I think, what if it happens in here? This is that combination, fearful, falling from a high place, into a pit of fire, drowning and being eaten by a shark sort of scenario that I sometimes envision that's going to be my undoing.
Uh-huh.
And then, it would be that way until I got to whatever floor I was on. And then I'd be on, the 42nd floor. And I'd think, well, it could happen while I'm up here. I've got to get back down to the ground floor. Whatever I have to do up here, I need to get this over with. And it seemed irrational, but after having been through a couple of them, all I could ever do is place myself whenever I was in any scenario saying, well, if it happened right now, I could probably be okay. I could, hide right there on the beach. Mm-hmm. Nothing's gonna fall on me on the beach except that rather large person over there. That would be bad. I hope he's stable. But it haunted me. I don't know if you had that experience that every time you were in California after that, you thought, well, now that I've been through one, it could happen anytime. Maybe we need to go through life like that.
Yeah, it's not a bad experience to have, especially if you don't get hurt. But it is unnerving for sure.
Yeah, well, you have to hang pictures back up.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick, as always, I enjoy talking to you, and thank you for coming on the show. And next week when we talk, it'll be all old news, the midterm elections, so we can pick through that turkey carcass.
Yeah. Now, and by the way, this is just something, one more thing for you to think about, because it was an event that happened a couple days ago. But I don't know if you saw in North Carolina, there was a suspicious package that they called in bomb squads and everything. And when they showed up and they opened up this suspicious package in the mailroom, it was a Journey cassette tape.
Oh, that's hysterical.
I mean, this is a true story. I'm thinking, wow, are cassettes that old that somebody in the mailroom gets them and says, oh, this looks like a bomb.
Oh, I know, because I have all my CDs, which I now use as coasters. I put drinks on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're beautiful coasters.
They're great. Right. They make great coasters.
The hole in the middle where all the fluid leaks right through.
I'm not saying they're perfect coasters, but they're ready. They're readily available.
Yeah.
All right. Wonderful. Patrick, have a great day. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks.
Yep. Patrick Albanese has been my guest. We'll take a little break and be back with more in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. It is 31 minutes after the hour, and we are on the eve of Election Day, which is tomorrow. And I had an opportunity to speak to Jason Yates and Audria Decker a couple of weeks ago, and we found that interview so important that it would be wise to replay it with the voting tomorrow. It's important to get out and vote, and they've got some powerful stories about it. And I thought, let's hear that one more time on the eve of the big midterm elections. My guest on the studio line, Jason Yates and Audria Decker, are from My Faith Votes. It is a nonpartisan movement focused on motivating Christians in America to participate in local and domestic elections. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
You bet. So glad to have you on. Now, as we're getting so close to the midterms, I want to just start talking about the work you do to engage really the younger Christians to vote. Maybe Jason, I can start with you.
Sure, Bill. First, let me just say that people don't realize this. And we know that the Senate races and the House races are happening this year. And that's a lot of influence that we have an opportunity to bring with our votes. But there are 70,000 elections happening across the country in November. So an incredible opportunity for us. And so My Faith Votes wants to motivate and inspire Christians to vote in every election, all the way down to school boards. And we want to encourage everyone to do three things: pray, think, and vote. So when we say pray, pray about our nation, pray for our leaders, but pray about our votes. Bring that before God. Seek Him in your decisions. And then when we say think biblically about the issues, and then go to the polls and vote. And so we're committed to do that, and we've come up with a great campaign. Actually, Audria is the one who's spearheaded it and come up with the entire concept, but a campaign to colleges, Christian colleges and universities, focus on that very same thing called Because I Care.
Really nice. Now, Audria, you started a nonprofit when you were just 16. So, way to go.
That's right.
That's kind of ambitious.
Well, you know, I recognize that a lot in my generation are not involved in the political process. You know, just this past Sunday, I was out with some friends after church, fellow millennials, and one of them asked what I did, and I said I helped others in our generation get ready to vote, and she responded with, you know, that's not really my thing. And unfortunately, that is the answer we hear over and over again among Christians in the next generation. Politics isn't really my thing, and we recognize politics isn't really anyone's thing.
Yeah.
But what is hearing about the issues that affect our communities and our lives and the lives of millions of people across the country. And so we launched a campaign called Because I Care, really telling the next generation, you don't have to care about politics or a particular party or a particular candidate, but what you do need to care about is biblical values lived out in every area of our lives, including the political process, and bringing those proven biblical principles into the public square and into the voting booth.
Wow, I'm still stuck that this, you know, friend of yours said that it's not really my thing. Now, I agree that politics can be very annoying, but the fact that we need to be participating as believers in the voting process is that should be a no-brainer for all of us.
Right, it's really important.
Yeah. So now let's talk about you've got about 100 colleges participating in the Because I Care campaign.
That's correct. We have over 100 Christian universities and Bible colleges across the country who are using our materials on their campus just to help their students register, request their absentee ballots, and get ready to vote.
Yeah. Now, Audria, what do you think when you hear about what Taylor Swift did the other day, where she endorsed a candidate and she encouraged 65,000 people to go ahead and register to vote?
Well, I will say in this political climate that we're living in, we certainly have many that are involved in the political issues. But I will still say that overwhelmingly, it's a minority. It's not everyone in the millennial generation, and it's not everyone in the church. And so we still have millions of Christians and millions of Christian millennials that are apathetic and that are sitting on the sidelines. And we know historically that in midterm elections, the participation and the voting turnout is even lower than in presidential election cycles. And as Jason pointed out, we simply can't have that happen. We shouldn't be able to pick and choose what elections we want to participate in. We are calling Christians to be involved in every election, from the local level all the way to the federal level. And it's important for Christians to realize the incredible influence that we can bring to the table, and that's what we want the next generation to know.
Mm-hmm. So do you provide tools, voter assistance tools, and what's included in your services and your initiatives?
Well, what I would say, Bill, is from My Faith Votes, we have an incredible set of resources within our Voting Assistance Center. So everything from key dates around when you need to register. By the way, I'm in Texas, and today's the last day to register. So we're offering people just to get informed around those key dates so they know what makes them eligible and what they need to do to get to the polls appropriately. We also have voting guides and full ballots. And the voting guides are just simply it's not recommending any particular candidate. It's simply helping people understand for every candidate where they stand on key issues, issues that are important from abortion to gun rights to economic policies, et cetera. And so we have a wealth of information on our My Faith Votes website. That's myfaithvotes.org.
So, Jason, the political landscape could have been dramatically different in over the last 20 years if Christians would have voted. Fair?
I think that's really fair. When you look at the average number of or the average difference in the especially the presidential elections, the average difference in the votes, it's been 10 million votes or less over the past, you know, 6-7 elections. And so Christians absolutely had the opportunity to make a huge difference in every single one of those elections.
So maybe one of you would just remind my listeners about the significance of Christians getting out and voting, and what does it mean when you go into the voting booth to vote your values?
Andrea, do you want to take that
sure,
on?
Sure. I will just say that we really believe that as Christians, we have a responsibility to bring biblical values into every aspect of our lives. And there's a really important aspect that is going into the voting booth and recognizing that we have a unique ability in America to select and elect our leaders, that many countries across the world would love to have the duty and the privilege that we have every 2 and every 4 years, and sometimes more frequently in local elections. And as Christians, we have an important role to play, and many times we look at the federal level, and Christians might simply shy away from the process because they don't want to be political. But when they do that, they really are stepping away from an opportunity that they have, that God has given them, to bring biblical values into the public square. And so we believe that on a local level, in local school boards and judicial appointments and state legislators, all the way up to your representatives in Washington, D.C., and of course the presidency, Christians have an important role, an important voice to play for the issues that are dear to our faith and important in the public square. And so we really believe that the Christians need to be bold, and we need to be bold with bringing our biblical values to the public square.
Great answer. So how do you find students on Christian campuses to be politically? Are they as polarized as secular campuses, do you know? Or is it representative of what is going on in America today? Or do they seem to collectively lean more one direction than the other?
That's a great question. You know, overwhelmingly, of course, we're working on campuses in all different states across the country. And so the dynamics of each campus and of every state is different. But I would say overwhelmingly, we're working with students who love Jesus. And they are dedicated Christians who are simply uninvolved in the political process. And I think in a lot of ways, the church has shied away from talking about the importance of bringing your faith into the ballot box. And so we have a new generation that is coming up on college campuses, and they just simply haven't heard yet the important message that their faith speaks to every area of life. And so the first step is really making that connection for Christian millennials and Christian young people, that there's a connection between your faith and your vote. And both of those things matter, and realizing that for the issues that matter, like life and religious liberty and care and compassion for those in need and those in our communities, we need to be involved in the political process. And so overwhelmingly, we have students that are not political, but they're strong believers. And when they understand the connection between their faith and the political process, they become engaged. And that's what's really exciting, because they're not just engaged while they're attending college, but they'll be engaged as young professionals and long after that as well.
Are college students today on Christian campuses that you're visiting, are they readily vocal about their desire or interest in voting? Or is it something that they find kind of to be an awkward conversation?
Unfortunately, I think it's an awkward conversation today on many campuses. Students don't want to be divisive, and they're not exactly sure how their vote can simply just be that, just their vote. They don't want to be partisan. And really, as Christians, we shouldn't be partisan, right? We are to bring biblical values to the polls, not the values of one political party over the other. And so that's what we try to communicate to millennials. Hey, we're not asking you to pick a political party or to endorse a candidate. We're asking you to stand on your faith in the public square, in the voting booth. And really, that's a fresh message that the millennials and college students don't hear. They're certainly not going to hear that from the media or on their social media feeds. And so overwhelmingly, we've gotten an incredible response from students saying, you're right, my faith does have something important to say, and I need to be bold with that. And the fact that this isn't a partisan thing, this is my responsibility in the American process, and this is my biblical responsibility to have a voice on the issues.
So, Audra, am I hearing that when the topic comes up, there isn't necessarily a lot of pushback on this from students?
That's right. I would say overwhelmingly there's not.
That makes me happy.
Jason, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably more, Bill, that there are hesitation from administration. And it's similar to what we see in churches as well. And I think it's just that fear at the top of the house of creating more division, to injecting something into the environment in the culture, whether it's a church or whether it's a university, that would appear to be political and partisan. What Audria has done with the Because I Care campaign is just fabulous, because it is clearly nonpartisan, it is clearly faith-based, and it just simply asks people to bring their faith forward, because it does have something essential to offer.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I care about my job, I have to take a break here. But when I come back, I will continue my conversation with Jason Yates and Audria Decker. And this is an interesting conversation that we're having about voting and how important it is to get out and vote as Christians. And if you would like to participate, ask a question, I'd love for you to do so. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, I'll be right back.
Arnold's Encore presentation.
Welcome back to the show. It's 13 minutes until the top of the hour. I have Jason Yates and Audria Decker on the line, and we are talking about voting. And I'm going to try to squeeze as many questions as I can in this time we have remaining. So let me just throw out a pool of questions, and you guys can just go after them like piranha, all right?
Sounds good.
Yeah. So does God expect us to vote? Does God expect us to be patriotic? And how should a Christian view politics? Have at it.
I would say, number one, God does expect us to be good stewards of what we've been given. And so when I think about Galatians 6:10 says that as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. And so as I think about that verse, I think I can apply that to voting, because voting is an opportunity that we've been given, an opportunity to weigh in and bring the values of our faith into the voting booth. And so I would say, yes, God would like to see us do that and to be faithful and good stewards of what we've been given. So now, does he expect us to be patriotic? we belong to a kingdom that's not of this earth. Now, is it bad to be patriotic? Absolutely not. Does he expect us to be patriotic to the U.S.? I don't think so. I mean, we claim a kingdom different than the one we live in here on this earth. But I don't think there's any reason why we can't be patriotic and feel proud of the country that we live in.
Mm-hmm. Well done. Good answers. Audrey, you want to jump in?
No, I think Jason said it well. I believe that we are to be good stewards of what we've been given. And in America, we've been given so much. We have the right to vote. And many countries across the world, as I said, just don't have that right. And so with that privilege does come a responsibility to be good stewards with the amazing freedom that God has entrusted us here in America.
All right. What do we do when there's really no clear Christian candidate?
That's always a tough one.
Yeah.
What I would say is just because there isn't a clear Christian candidate, it doesn't mean that we should step out and not involve ourselves. I think as we all know, we're all sinners. Every single person on the ballot is a flawed candidate. And so we need to do the best with what we have and really look for the most good we can do with that opportunity that we have. And so I would encourage everyone, you know, as you consider the candidates that are there, you know, take out a piece of paper, lay out, here's the issues, here's what one candidate says, here's what another candidate says, and as much as possible, here is what the Bible says. And figure out who lines up the best with what the Bible says, and go in that direction. Now, I've heard some say that there reaches a point where, you know, you just come to a place where you literally cannot pull the lever for either one of the candidates if there's a couple on the ballot. Then find a third, but participate in the process and make your voice heard.
I love it. So let me just give you some fake complaining, all right?
Yeah.
All right, here's some fake complaining. I don't know, my vote's just one vote. It's not going to count. Or how about, I am so sick of this whole political process. The whole thing stinks. I just want to get away from it. Or I am way too busy. You know my schedule. I've got volleyball on Tuesday night. And I do not have time to get informed, so I probably just won't vote.
Those are some great objections to voting. We have certainly heard them all. Jason and I can tell you that we have heard them. Well, the first one, we've taken care of for you. My Facebook has taken care of for you. If you're too busy to vote or you think you're too busy to vote, we have made it very easy with our Voting Assistance Center, where you can go to one place at myfaithvotes.org and do all your research right there to get ready to vote. We've made it easy so that it doesn't have to be some hard, complicated process. So the idea that you don't have enough time is simply not a good excuse when you look at the fact, as Jason has already said, that we're supposed to be stewards of what God has given us. And voting is really easy. We've got the internet. You can quickly, easily research the candidates, know exactly what's on your ballot. We've got amazing tools that help people figure that out and do that quickly and easily. So there should be no reason to say that you can't vote because you don't have enough time. The argument of people saying that maybe their vote doesn't matter or doesn't make a difference is a very real objection, and we get that a lot by young people saying, does my vote really make a difference? And it certainly does. There's examples throughout history of elections that came down to just one or two votes. There were some elections even a couple years ago in Virginia that came down to just one or two votes. It does matter, but beyond that, we don't vote because necessarily we think we're always going to affect the outcome, but we vote because that's what we're called to do. We have the ability to bring biblical values to the important issues that are facing our community and our nation. You know, when I look around our our communities and our country are asking important questions, and they're difficult questions. And they're not ones as Christians that we don't know the answers to. We have biblical principles that apply to the tough issues that our country is facing. And as believers, we need to bring those solutions to the light, and we need to bring those into the public square. And so we have that responsibility as Christians, and the outcome isn't up to us. It's up to God. But we're to do our part as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, I'm going to make one last addition to that. Your last question there, Bill, was, you know, about volleyball and other things happening probably on Election Day. Well, we also do, as part of our ballot tool, have a tool to make a plan to vote. And it includes a whole process of, you know, scheduling that on your calendar. And today, most every state allows you to vote early. So I think you can schedule around it and make a plan to vote.
Yeah, you don't know how busy I am. But no, I completely agree. Now, we just have about 3 minutes left, so I'm going to ask a couple more quick questions. I have a couple callers. Renee called in from Minneapolis and said she belongs to a small church starting a class next month for young adults. Does your website have resources or anything that we could download to encourage them to go and vote? Tell the web address again.
Certainly.
Don't fight.
People can go to myfaithvotes.org. And you can go to the Voting Assistance Center, and you will see lots of voting materials. And certainly, if you have young adults, we can direct you there as well on the MyFaithVote.org website.
Awesome. Another listener, Becky from Howard Lake, said, we can vote for judges here in Minnesota, but where do you go for more information on them?
That really is the toughest one to handle. And I don't have a great response here. If a judge does have a website, then we are capturing information about them from mm-hmm. what they put on their website. But judges don't want to tip their hat one way or the other, and so there's very little information. And that's a huge opportunity in this country to bring greater awareness around how judges stand and how we can help people vote one way or the other around them. So I wish I had a better answer.
That's okay. Speaking of judges, how does the recent confirmation of Justice Kavanaugh confirmation, how is that going to affect the midterms?
Well, hopefully it encourages Christians to get out and vote. I mean, these appointments have great significance for the issues that are important to our faith, and so it should remind us that it's important for us to vote in every election.
That's great.
It certainly sparked a lot of interest and motivation, I would say, on both sides. So I think we will see very high turnout relative to history for midterm elections.
Mm-hmm. And how should we be praying for this upcoming election? And if we're going to get specific, what would we specifically be praying for?
Well, I think, you know, not too many people will actually pray about their votes. We pray for our nation. We might pray for our leaders. But do we actually bring our vote and bring our ballot and lay it in front of us and ask God to lead and guide us in how we vote? And so to reveal his heart first and foremost as we make our decisions. And so in the least, I would encourage your listeners to do that and be earnest about that, and not simply throw up a short prayer on their way to the polling booth, but spend some time ahead of time praying over it and asking God to help them make the best decision.
Mm-hmm. Let's just review the websites where my listeners can go again one more time.
So My Faith Votes is myfaithvotes.org.
Okay. Okay. And that's the place to go. That's one-stop shopping for all the information that we just talked about.
It sure is.
Awesome.
That's right.
Thank you so much. Has this been stressful?
No, this is not stressful.
Okay. All right. Thanks for being on the show today, Jason Yates and Audrey Decker from My Faith Votes. Well, that's all the time we have. Have a great night, everyone. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.